Hi everyone, I'm Zoe England, joined by Carlene Jackson. Thanks for listening to Marketing Decanted for SMEs, the podcast from Cloud9 Insight, created to be an essential guide to small business marketing. On today's episode, we're talking to Rachel King, Marketing Director at Breathe, who joins us to discuss how to make a big impact with little budget. With 25 years of marketing experience, Rachel took HR tech platform Breathe from a startup to a highly successful business with more than 9,000 customers and 500 partners. With a passion for positivity and bringing out the best in people, Rachel knows how to put a good spin on a difficult situation. Expect to come away with tips on getting the most out of your small marketing budget. Thanks for joining and enjoy today's episode.
Hi Zoe, how are you?
Hi Carlene, I'm very good today. How are you?
I'm good. I'm basking in the sunshine, which is lovely, although we woke up to some frost and I'm locked away in one of the rooms in my house because our offices are locked up and closed at the minute, but I'm hoping my younger kids don't come and invade while we're doing this recording, but hey, that might be part of the fun.
Well, I'm squeezed at the end of my dining room table because I've got a jigsaw on the go, so I guess quite amusing images for both of us this morning.
Oh, there we go. So I'm super excited to have Rachel with us today, and Rachel is our guest speaker, and she's the marketing director of Breathe HR, and in fact we use their software, and I've always been greatly inspired by everything that they do in marketing. And their CEO, John, is just a phenomenally inspiring guy. So I'm super excited to welcome you, Rachel. How are you doing today?
Hello, Carlene. I am really well. Thank you very much. Like you, I'm basking in the sunshine, locked in a room and hoping my children don't invade. But yeah, really well in the circumstances. Thank you.
Oh, that's great. And so what's really interesting about you, Rachel, is that first of all, there's been some incredible things that Breathe have achieved over the years, which I would say credit to yourself and to the great work that your marketing team do. But you've been doing marketing with Breathe for quite a long time, actually. Is it 9 years?
Yes, it is nine years next week that I have been with Breathe now, which is just crazy. But I've got to say I've enjoyed every moment of it.
Oh, fantastic. And tell us a little bit about your journey from sort of what's changed over that time, sort of what happened when you were starting out to sort of what things have you learned along the way. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, my background, I was actually with a financial services and insurance company for many, many years. So in terms of sort of learning my trade, if you like, in marketing, that's where I learned it. I was very lucky enough to be able to learn different and experience different marketing channels and to gain lots of experience and sort of take advantage of all the training that's available there. So I left there, oh my God, back in 2011. And then in January of 2012, I was approached by a recruitment agency about a little startup called Breathe, and they were looking for some marketing support. So I thought, that sounds interesting. Always had quite an interest in software. So I thought, let's go and have a chat with Jonathan. So I had a chat with him on a Monday, and I joined the company on the following day, I think it was. It was that quick. It was crazy. So yes, when it started off, it was just literally me doing the marketing and actually getting ready to launch Breathe HR to the market. So starting off with zero customers. So it's been a journey of growth for us, of testing, starting off with small budgets and just learning on the job. I mean, I'm lucky enough now that I've got a team of 7 people in my marketing team now, and we've got now 9,000 customers on for us. So it's wonderful to see that growth.
That's incredible. That's such a story to hear in terms of over 9 years and now having 7 staff, Rachel. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah.
What do you think it is that your team's doing that's perhaps maybe different that some of the listeners might be interested to hear about?
Yeah, I mean, it's about sort of learning. So when we started off, we were very content-led. So we kind of just using the tools that were available to us. So it's all about your website. So I think that if you are a software company like us, your website has to work very hard for you. So that's the place to invest, making sure that, you know, Google can find you, so your customers can find you, making sure your website is easy to easy to use as well is really important. So we actually invested at the time for very small budgets in freelancers to help us with that. And there's loads of really, really good people out there. So if you are on a really tight budget, that's what I would recommend you doing. We then started to build out our content. So actually producing blog content as well that we thought we had an authority on to talk about. So that we've really expanded out the content now. So within my team now, I have content writers. And then obviously looking at the discipline of around the website, search engine optimization. I've got experts in that as well, and experts as well with paid media. So things like Google AdWords as well. Something you can actually start off very small, but you can expand as you go. And it's all about testing as well. You just keep testing and learning and changing your marketing as you go. I would also say, I think it's really critical that you have a very, very clear plan. So right from the, you know, what are your company goals for a year? And then you create your marketing strategy from that. So everybody's really clear what they are, what they're working towards. And that'll really sort of help you to sort of hone in your marketing activity.
That sounds amazing. I just can't get my head around that, but it does make sense to have such a big team. And I know one of the things that people are always asking me, oh, I'm going to hire my first marketing manager. What should I be looking for? And I say to them, actually, you won't find everything in one person. So your advice around tapping into freelancers is a great one. But I'm intrigued to know if somebody, imagine you met an 18-year-old who was starting out in their career and they said they wanted to work in marketing, and they asked you to sort of explain what is marketing. How would you describe it?
Yeah, I mean, Carly, as you say, I mean, marketing isn't just one thing. That's the beauty of it, I think, because I think you can influence so much, everything from, you know, the awareness of your brand right the way through to when they become a customer. So I guess, you know, you have to decide what it is you want to, where your passions lie, I guess. So that's what I really love about marketing. I think if you've got a real passion for understanding people as well, so, you know, understanding your customers' needs and wants. I'm really driven by really understanding our customers. I'm fascinated as to what makes a person just take out a free trial of our product. I think what's going on in their day today to make them need to take a free trial out. I'm often on our CRM system looking at their companies and going onto their websites and just to understand their personas as well. So I think if you've got that drive and that interest, then you will go far.
So Rachel, I know that you do a broad range of different marketing activities for your different audiences. So perhaps you want to tell us a bit more about what you're doing and some of the successes?
Absolutely, Zoe. So as a business, one of our mission is to put people first. And we have a real passion for understanding company cultures for small businesses and helping small businesses to really make the most of their culture. So we have, over the years, have produced many different pieces to support that. One of the biggest things that we do is the Cultural Economy Report. And what that does is it looks at research around the UK to understand, you know, what's important to businesses in terms of how they manage their people, how they look after their people. Is culture important? Does it form part of their marketing strategy? And we've been producing those for about three years now. We are about to launch Culture Economy Report 2021. That's a mouthful. Okay. Taking into account that last year was a year like no other. And we were just really interested to find out how businesses, you know, have adapted to that in terms of, you know, working from home. How do you manage a company culture when you're working remotely? So we've actually just getting that written at the moment, and that should be out in the next couple of months. Alongside that, we, you know, our blog content is all around people and culture as well, because again, we're writing about that constantly. From a customer perspective, we'd also try to support them. So we run regular events. So last year we were lucky enough to have our partner summit for our HR partners network. And we also ran our very first conference for all customers, the People Conference. So we were very lucky to get that in just before lockdown.
Yeah.
So what we're actually going to start planning for doing probably an online event this year. So look out for that. So we've just literally kicked off the planning for that for April. So we're very excited about trying to bring that back. We have our Culture Pledge as well. So it's just a way for businesses to, pledge that they are trying to do the best for their employees. So we have Culture Pledge as well. And we'll be launching Culture Leaders List as well this year. So for those businesses that want to celebrate what they do for their people, So lots of different things on the go at the moment. So absolutely really important part of our marketing strategy.
That sounds great. And just a question on that then. So is that focused at a particular segment of sort of HR leaders? Is it SMB or?
It's very much SMB. So that's the people we want to be talking to. So yes, that's who our top we target.
Great.
I imagine from the work that you do that actually you probably have a lot of customer ambassadors promoting your products and referrals and things like that. Is that a part of your marketing strategy overall?
Absolutely. And again, as a business, that's the best way of getting business, of driving that organic growth. It's free at the end of the day. But yes, we do. We have a wonderful network of HR partners. So I think we have nearly 500 HR partners in the UK now who are selling Breathe onto their clients. We have, you know, clients that are actually referring us on. So yes, that is absolutely a part of our, again, a key part of our marketing strategy.
Yeah, I know it's been quite important for Cloud9. A lot of our leads in our business, probably about 70% come from referrals. Yeah. And I think, especially if you think about referrals coming from who else works with your customers, that your target customers, and how might you incentivize them or compliment them or maybe even make their job easier? Because I'm sure, I guess many of the HR sort of interim HR directors or whatever who might be working with their customers, it would be impossible for them to do what they do without what you guys do to help them with the sort of HR system in place.
Absolutely. I mean, what we're all about is just trying to make the lives easier for those small businesses, you know, take away some of that pain, because we know that, you know, small businesses, you know, that they are going to be doing lots of different roles, HR being part of that role. They may not have an HR person in-house because of it, they're too small. So we're just trying to make life as easy as possible using our software to take away some of those pain points.
Fantastic. So out of interest, how do you go, what's your advice about going about setting a marketing budget? And if you're on a low budget, what would your tips be? But as you see results, sort of what's your advice around actually sitting down and setting that out?
Yeah, so I think in terms of if you're starting out and you've got a small business, and I think one of the most important things you can do actually is go into your network. So, you know, talk to your peers, get them to test your product for you, and then to refer it on, perhaps write a case study on how they've used it, get that up on your website. As I've mentioned previously, if you can't afford to get, you know, go for like a full service agency because your budget is too small, then look at freelancers. There's loads of sites out there with freelancers on, use their expertise. So particularly for like blog writing. So if you're not a great writer, I mean, blog content is so important. Get someone to write some blog posts for you, and you can do that for a few hundred pounds. Get someone to check your website for you from an SEO search engine optimization perspective, just to, you know, make sure everything's okay. Again, you can get someone on board there relatively cheaply. And then in terms of, you know, selecting your channels, again, I come back to make sure you've got a really clear plan, what your goals are for that year, and then you can work your marketing plan around that. And then testing is so important. So you don't have to like throw huge amounts of budget into one thing. You can maybe put a tiny amount of budget into something, test it, see how it goes. If that works, if it starts driving leads to your business, then put more budget in and then go and test something else. And then just keep growing it and expanding it as well. But definitely, you know, talk to your peers, get a network together. Don't be afraid to ask other people how they've got things working. Just I think people is so important with this. Marketing changes so fast that you have to keep talking and learning as well. But my number one thing is test.
Yeah, that sounds like good advice, Rachel. And I agree with you when you're saying that marketing is constantly changing. And I think particularly at the moment, people are looking for new ideas. So what trends do you see in the marketplace that people are sort of jumping onto that perhaps are worth looking at?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting time, I think, for marketing. Obviously, you know, we're currently in lockdown. So last year, you know, we saw marketing budgets tightened. Marketers have had to pivot marketing strategies and plans very quickly. So in some ways, that's made marketing more agile as well. Hmm. I would say digital technologies are more important than ever. The lovely thing about digital is, you know, costs are starting to come down. So you have the ability to test new channels. So for example, for us, we're actually running our very first television campaign at the moment on Sky. Which we're incredibly excited about, but because it's so much more available now to everybody, so it's always worth having a look at things that you may think that's for big companies. Not necessarily. Just have a look and see what digital technologies are out there to help you. I would say keep keep talking to your customers, to what customers that you've got, listen to them, react to their needs, and adapt your marketing strategy accordingly. I say there's a real opportunity for marketing because, you know, SMEs are very, very resilient. And I think as we come out of this dreadful situation, there'll be the move from survival resilience over to growth. And I think marketing is absolutely the foundation to help sort of build and to shape that growth as well. And one we kind of touched on already is partnerships. So I think keep looking for more partnership opportunities. So if you've got two companies where the end goal is the same, why not work together? I think it's really, really critical.
Yep, sounds like good advice.
I'm intrigued to know how big relatively as a percentage, how does the size of your sales team compare to the size of your marketing team?
Yeah, that's a good question. We don't necessarily have a sales team as such. We try to we call it onboarding. So what we're trying to do is actually make our customers use the technology to make them as successful as possible. We want the customer to feel so comfortable they shouldn't need a hard sell. We're just there to kind of support them along the way. So I would say the customer success team is around the same size actually as the marketing team.
That's an incredible credit to marketing, because clearly you've probably taken them a long way down that marketing funnel, really, of sort of building awareness and educating them, and that they're effectively they're ready to buy, really. Yeah, they don't need to be sold to, and that's an incredible success story, I would say.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean it's about, again, it's learning and testing, and we work really hard to make sure we are driving good quality leads into our onboarding team. We're not one to get, you know, we're not one for driving huge volumes of trials through that aren't going to be good quality, because that's not going to help anybody. Those customers won't stick around, so you'll just see it from you'll see them churning, you'll see them leaving you. So it's really important that we get the absolute, you know, we work on the targeting very, very closely to make sure we're driving those good quality traffic in that are going to stay, that will stay with us. And we have customers that have been with us for 9 years.
Wow, that's great. And we're not 9 years because we found out about you late, but we've no plans to change after many years. You're sort of a bedrock of our business now, so I can understand that stickiness. So I'm intrigued to know, tell us a little bit more about what is it that, imagine a business has gone from startup into sort of, they're in this sort of growth mode. Yeah. And they're thinking to themselves, right, I really don't want to just keep hiring more salespeople or onboarding people. I actually want to, I want my marketing team to, and my marketing efforts to be clever, to sort of convert those customers through that funnel. What sort of things can organizations do to support that sort of conversion from that early stage inquiry through to, yeah, I'm really excited about this? What sort of things have really worked for you?
Yep. I would say there's kind of two things there to look at. Firstly, yeah, we're lucky enough to work with a number of different agencies, and they help to support us in terms of learning and developing our marketing strategy, making sure we're reaching the right people. And then internally, I think it's important that you invest in the right systems. So we have been using a CRM system pretty much since the get-go, really good at helping us to automate that nurturing process through, that we can workflow through, which means we can scale our operations as cost effectively as possible.
So just thinking about that customer journey and what's next, and thinking about, I guess, the different target audiences and making it relevant so that you can automate quite a lot of that, I imagine.
We can, absolutely. Yeah, so that's a great thing. So if you can invest in good software, that'll certainly help your business to grow very, very quickly.
Fantastic. So Zoe, the you've talked a lot with me recently about sort of trends at the moment. What are your thoughts on what's happening in the marketplace?
Yeah, so I think from what I've seen, we've got a lot of businesses that are obviously trying to survive at the moment, as you mentioned. But I think there's a lot of people that are looking at how do we grow our business and how do we use marketing to do that, and they're looking for advice on growing their business. So I guess what would your, I don't know, three top tips be, Rachel, if someone's a business owner who's saying, okay, well, what's going to be most effective in terms of growing the business?
I would say speak to existing customers, find out, what's going on in their world right now, to really, really understand, because that will be very, very different to how it was 12 months ago. So I think that's so important to use that research. Use your existing, your network. as well. So, you know, keep talking to people. I know it's very hard to meet face to face at the moment, but, you know, keep talking to people, look out for so much good content online, to, you know, to really sort of take all that in. And I would say is look at what was working before for you. So I would recommend, you know, have confidence in the channels that were working before for you. And, you know, just almost just and keep using those channels.
That sounds great advice. And I guess it's just keep on talking, isn't it, generally?
Yeah, really is. So important. Keep talking.
Yeah, that's true. I'm intrigued that there's definitely, I've seen more organisations investing in paid for advertising in a B2B environment. What have you seen working?
Yeah, I mean, for us, we do invest quite heavily in Google AdWords. So again, that's something we have grown. So, you know, we started off with very, very small budgets on that, and we've gradually kept testing and learning. We're now using a full service agency to manage that account for us. So Google AdWords is a really good one, and definitely worth testing. You can sort of set it up yourself, but again, if you haven't got big budgets, there are freelancers out there that will be able to help you, or certainly smaller agencies. So I'd certainly give that a go.
Do you use LinkedIn or Facebook?
We do use LinkedIn. So LinkedIn and Facebook work well for us. I would say that the number one for you is definitely getting that organic growth. So it's making sure your website can be found very easily by Google and other search engines. But Google, I'm afraid, is the big one that you have to make sure you're getting that working. Then you can sort of top it up with paid activity, and absolutely you've got the social activity behind that as well. And again, LinkedIn in particular, there's loads of really good stuff on LinkedIn now, so it's definitely worth sort of investing in that too.
And I know I've certainly seen there's a trend as well towards communities and people sort of coming together. So have you any experience of that at the moment as well you can perhaps share?
Yes, absolutely. And that's something we're kind of growing at the moment. But again, because with the COVID situation, we felt we wanted to be able to do more for our customers. They were all SMEs. We knew they were all having a really awful time, and we wanted to get them together just to be able to talk and also to support them. So because we have our wonderful network of HR partners, we want to try and bring those customers together. So we started running HR advice workshops. So that's where we'd get one of our partners along, get a group of our SME customers along, and they could just ask any questions that they wanted to that partner. And they've been going really well. So we're going to sort of continue with that. We're trying to sort of build up a community around our, you know, the culture pledge, so the culture content as well. So we're just kind of working on that at the moment. So I think community is a really big thing.
Yeah,
can't be underestimated.
What are the other things that you see as trending right now that if you're maybe starting out in marketing and you want to keep on that curve, what are the trends that you are seeing right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'd certainly say keep investing in technology. There's lots of technologies out there that are starting to use AI, starting to give a more personalised experience. So I'd certainly keep an eye out for some of those.
I know that when we work with clients and implementing Microsoft Dynamics, and they have a module called Customer Voice, and just getting that sort of insight into what people are saying is quite important, really. I think
it is so critical. Yeah,
so much data out there, it's just trying to keep on top of it all isn't easy.
No, I'd agree. I mean, you're right, there's so much data out there. I mean, data is absolutely key. I could spend all day just looking at data, to be honest, whether it's customer research, Google Analytics, you know, we've got access to it all, but it's kind of bringing it all together and being able to find a way through it to say, okay, what story is this data trying to tell me?
If I was starting out, talking from my own experience at Cloud9, hiring a marketeer who really understands data, the need for it, what story is it telling you, what am I doing right? You talked about learning. If you can start to sort of make investments and be able to sift through the data and think about the feedback that's giving you and how to adjust to then work with others in the team who might be more specialist in perhaps this more SEO or technical side, or the content writing, potentially that might be the first hire. I don't know. What do you think, Rachel?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think Google Analytics, any analytical background, I think is really important. Yes, I think certainly it could well be a first hire. But also what I'm trying to do is we've got a few members of my team that are very, very strong on Google Analytics. But also it's making sure the rest of the team understand it. So everything they do whether it's an email campaign or a social post. Again, what was that performance? How was it performed like that? What is the story behind it? So that everyone's got that sort of bedrock of analytics and being able to report on how something has, you know, how something has performed.
Yeah, it's always been the constant sort of goal is marketing sort of evidencing their value, and it's not always that easy, because I think a lot of marketing investment, things like brand, for example, it's a long-term view, really. It's not a short-term gain.
No, it isn't. I mean, you're absolutely right. We work with a PR agency, we have done for many years, and it is tough to measure it, but all you can do is kind of you look at that overall sort of impact on your website traffic, and you should be able to see a growth over time. What are the searches on your brand terms? So your company name, are they starting to increase? A really good agency, if they're placing articles for you, they should be getting sort of backlinks back to your site. So again, that's a way you can measure it. But you're right, it's a slow burner.
So Rachel, I guess anyone out there that's looking for more inspiration around sort of marketing and good books or podcasts to get in engrossed in, what's your top tips for that?
Yeah. So in terms of books, I would say that the one I've kind of keep referring back to is a little book called Traction by Gabriel Weinberg and Justin Maris. And that's a really good reference book for startups, because it will guide you through the different marketing channels that you need to grow your business. And it's one that I keep dipping into even now. Other books I've just find inspirational, actually. I mean, I've just finished reading Michelle Obama's Becoming. I think she's an incredibly inspirational woman for her times, and it's a really empowering book.
That sounds great. I have actually got the podcast, which I've listened to for Michelle Obama. And what's wonderful is that she reads it herself. So if you're not somebody who necessarily reads a lot, then I highly recommend the audio version of her book.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's particularly interesting right now because she talks about her first moments in the White House and what it must feel like to the First Lady. And so, yeah, if you're going to listen to it, now might be a really good time.
Yeah, it's very, very timely, I think. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll have to dig it off my bookshelf. It's gathering dust at the moment, so now's a good time to pick it up again. Yeah.
And actually, another book at the moment I do keep referring to, because I know it's really hard with us being in lockdown at the moment. And I call this a book for your soul. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's a book called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse by Charlie McAtee. And it's a really great book full of little life lessons. And it really lifts your spirits if you're feeling a little bit low.
Fantastic. Oh, it's just been amazing, Rachel, talking to you today. And I'm sure I could probably spend for hours sort of sitting with you and picking your brain on all the amazing things that you do. You're an incredible inspiration for, I'm sure, many organizations in what you do and the thought leadership that your business bring to help small businesses with their success with HR. And I look forward to continuing to work with you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me.
And if you'd like to hear more, do subscribe to our podcast channel, www.cloud9insight.com/podcasts. So goodbye for now and see you next time.